today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, concerning the wise and the foolish virgins. In the preceding chapter, Christ was dwelling upon the Mount of Olives, speaking unto his disciples concerning his second coming. He gave many signs and many warnings unto his disciples, proving unto them that when he did come, these things would take place. He spake unto them and said that there would be great tribulation. There would likewise be wars and rumors of wars. There would likewise be great famines and pestilences in various places. And this was one of the signs that he brought forth before his disciples. Likewise, he said that there would be many false prophets arising and many false Christ who would, if they could, even deceive the very elect. Christ speaking unto his disciples is speaking likewise unto us, warning us that the day when the Son of Man shall come shall be an unexpected time. Everything will be going on just as usual. No one will be expecting that Christ will come, but suddenly shall the sign of the Son of Man appear in the clouds of heaven, and then there will be a cry, "Come ye to judgment." Oh, what a day that will be, my hearers. Oh, what fear, what dismay, and oh, what terror there will be in millions of people that are be upon this earth. Oh, what an awful day it'll be for those of whom Christ likewise in this parable begins to teach us. He spake and said in this chapter, and he continues with a parable saying, the kingdom of heaven shall be like, it shall be like then when he's going to come. It will be like when 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. They went out with their lamps, and they went out to meet him who was coming. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 that were foolish took no oil in their lamps, but the wise, they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. We have here then a presentation of what took place under the Jewish people when a wedding was going to be held. As you know, God instituted marriage in paradise. He brought Adam to Eve, and ever since that day, marriages have been taking place in this world. And various countries have different forms and ceremonies of marriages, and likewise, various people in this country have different ways of having receptions when marriages are going to be held. Normally amongst us, as we know, if some young couple's going to get married, why, they likewise send out invitations. The date is set, and they invite their relatives and their friends, and some get married in the church, some get married in the place where they're going to have the reception, some get married in the parsonage of the minister's home, some run away and get married. They don't like to have a great wedding, they don't like to have a whole lot of fuss, so they run away and get married by a justice of the peace somewheres, and they come back and they're married. A marriage today, my hearers, is taking place just as well as it took place under Israel of old. When they have marriages, there is joy, there is happiness, and this is right. It's not a funeral sermon, it's not when somebody dies, but it's a wedding, and a wedding is a place for joy and happiness. But when weddings receptions are held, many of them get out of hand. There is sometimes much drinking, and sometimes there is many arguments, many fights arise, sometimes even people are murdered at weddings. This takes place even amongst weddings. Where this takes place, you may be sure that Christ is not there. There the devil reigns. We read that even Christ went to a wedding, and when he went to this wedding, they ran short of wine, and he performed the miracle so that they would have wine enough to distribute amongst the guests. At this wedding, if you read it correctly, there was a governor at this wedding. This is the way the Jews did it. They set somebody over it so that there would be no intoxication, no drunkenness, and everything would be in order. So Christ here is speaking about a wedding. Here we find that under the Jews, why when a person was going to get married, why the bridegroom, he usually came to the bride's house. He had his male attendants, but the bride, she had her virgins, 10 virgins, it says here. They attended her. We would call them bridesmaids. Now, when the bridegroom was going to come, it was usually at night that this took place, and usually it got to be quite late before the bridegroom came. Then the bride would send the bridesmaids out to meet the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom came, then he would be conducted by these bridesmaids who carried lamps and lights and brought them to the bride's home, and in they went, and there they were married, and there they had the reception. This is the way it went under the Jews of old. Christ is using this as a parable to speak and to teach how that it will be when he shall come upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. As it was in the days of Noah, before that he went into the ark, they were giving in marriage and they were entering into marriage, and then they entered into the ark, and then the flood come and took them all away. So it will be in this great day. Christ here sets this forth in this parable. There were then 10 virgins, 10 bridesmaids, who went out, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We find that the foolish, they took no oil in their vessels to keep their lamps burning. They thought it was not necessary. But the wise, they took extra oil with them, so that if the bridegroom tarried, they would have extra oil to put into their lamps and keep them burning. These 10 went along the road by which the bridegroom was to come. And at a certain space, they decided they would go no further. They would stay there and wait for the bridegroom to come with his attendants. So they all sat down and waited. But now, while they waited, it became so long that they became drowsy. And soon, the wise with the foolish, they all fell asleep. And now, of course, they knew not that their lights were going out. Of course, they were asleep. And so, at midnight, there came a cry, "The bridegroom cometh." And of course, this startled them, this frightened them, this awakened them. And immediately they took hold of their lamps and they all trimmed them, but they were gone out. They were only smoking. So the wise, they took their oil and they filled their lamps with oil. And of course, their lamps began to burn very brightly. But the foolish ones who had ignored taking some oil along with them, they had no oil for their lamps. So we read that they went to the wise ones and said, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And they said, "Not so, because there probably will not be enough for us both. But go to the sellers and buy your oil." So they didn't speak to them and say, "Well, you were so foolish that you didn't bring any oil." They didn't rebuke them or any way. But they told them in plain language that they weren't going to give them any of their oil. They needed it themselves, and that if they wanted some, they would have to go and buy. So in the meantime, these foolish virgins, they left, and they went to buy oil for their lamps. And now in the meantime, the bridegroom came. And the bridegroom came down the road. There were these 5 that had their lamps burning. And they came in with these attendants that the bridegroom had. There was a cavalcade of people, and they all walked down the road to the bride's house. And when they got to the bride's house, well, they all entered into a nice, big, spacious room, brilliantly lit, and they closed the door. They went in with gladness and joy and happiness. But now, a little while later, these foolish virgins, they came, and they began to knock on the door. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open up unto us." But the door was shut. And the voice from behind the door said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." This was something for these bridesmaids that intended to go into the wedding. They fully anticipated to get in, but they were disappointed. They could not enter in. The Lord of the feast would not allow them. And so he spake and said unto them, Watch, for ye know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So, my hearers, I've given to you the historical part of our parable. Let us return to the beginning again, where we have mentioned made of 10 virgins. By these virgins, we may understand professors of religion, those that come to church, those that become members of churches, those that profess that they have Christ, those that say they are on the narrow way. We may include them all in these 10 virgins, for there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. Millions of people in this world make a profession of religion, and millions of likewise become members of various churches. There are many that are brilliant men, many that are gifted with light, with wisdom, with understanding from God in their heads, and have very much light in Scripture likewise, are able to preach, are able to teach, to instruct others out of the Word, as I am trying to do you in my feeble way. And these are what we would call virgins, who likewise serve God with their minds, but not with their hearts. Oh, how many millions of people there are in our times in which we live who do these things, my hearers. Many are members of the church. Many of you speak to them. They're firmly assured they're going to heaven. Oh, their faith is so strong they cannot be touched when you speak to them that they may deceive themselves. They will not hear of it. There are many millions of people likewise that are being deceived by false leaders. They are called upon to accept Christ. They are ignorant of the way of salvation. They never had any instruction in it from a child. And many are deceived. They get up and they accept Christ. They believe and they think that this is all that is necessary. They all have to live according to the Word of God, and this they attempt to do, and they believe that they are going to heaven. We call these free willers. There are millions of them in our country today. How sad it is that so many poor souls are being deceived and misled in this way. Oh, if we have any love for the souls of humanity, oh, we dread this. We hate to see something like this going on. But still it's going on. It's been going on for ages already. So we may then by this judge that these 5 foolish were similar to these that I'm talking about. There are so many foolish creatures today in religion. They do not know nothing about the work of God in their souls. They are ignorant of the way that God converts a person and leads him on the narrow way. They are strangers to the life of God, to the works of the Spirit of conviction and of granting them sight in the Lord Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. Oh, how many there are in this respect, my hearers. But our parable says that there were 5 wise. These wise, they had oil in their vessels. These 5 were the children of God. There are many that are born again in this world by the grace of God. Many that are on a narrow way. We may not know them all, but God has his people throughout the universe. And so we may consider these 5 wise as those in whom God has begun a good work of grace. They likewise have been anointed with the Spirit, and they are being taught by the Spirit. The Spirit anoints them and leads them into the way of salvation. They at times even are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. They may pray, as we read in Revelations, come quickly. At times they have such good seasons for their souls. They are in that state where Paul was in, who had such a desire to depart to be with Christ, which would be far better. But we read likewise that these went out and they also made a profession. They likewise came forward and spake about the wonderful works of God in their souls. They went forward with the foolish to meet the bridegroom. And now when they were together, then we find that while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, that they all fell asleep, the foolish as well as the wise. Oh, my hearers, the foolish, they likewise were very indifferent, very careless. They considered not who was coming to judge them. They lived according to the fashion of this world, or they conformed themselves more to the world than to the profession they had made. It was to be seen even in their outward lives that there was no grace in their hearts. And now they fell asleep. They likewise with the wise fell asleep. Oh, how sad it is, my hearers, that after having such a wonderful experience, being led by the Spirit of God, being given to enjoy the love of God shed abroad in a person's soul, to come into this state where these people were, they fell asleep, they slumbered. I believe that this is the condition of the church at the present time. It's in a very slumbering condition. It's asleep. And what happens then, my hearers? If you have been given this grace that I have been speaking about, and you have experienced this wonderful change in your life, when God drew you to himself, when he shed his love abroad in your soul, when he made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, when everything became new to you, or when you received new ears, new eyes, a new heart, new life, when you came up to the house of God, how different it was. When you read the Bible, you read it with much life and affection for your soul. When you went in your inner chamber to pray, you found access to God. Oh, the wonderful times that you had alone with God. You can never forget that if you had that, my hearers. You can always go back to that time in your life. Have you ever had a time like that in your life? Any of you listening to me? You know what I'm talking about? I hope I'm not speaking Greek to some of you people. Oh, what a wonderful blessing it is when God draws us to himself and separates us from the world in every form of friend, as we have been singing, and he becomes our friend, he becomes our companion, our refuge, our strength. Oh, what a God we have, my hearers. And now there comes a time when we, who have experienced this wonderful blessing, fall asleep. Oh, it's sad to say, but this is the state and condition of many a Christian today. Oh, they depart from their first love, not all of a sudden, but gradually. Oh, the feelings, the exercises of their soul begin to become diminished. They don't find that under the truth that they did before. Oh, they find likewise sin. Oh, that powerful enemy arising in them. Oh, when they were enlivened by the Spirit, oh, how they hated sin, how they fought against sin and strove against sin and prayed against it. But now when they become in this condition, my hearers, then sin seems to become attractive. Oh, they begin to leave these things that they enjoyed so much of God in. And then we find them in a very slumbering condition. Oh, they come to the house of God, and they have not what they had before. They have no ears to hear. The word does not exercise them. They sit so dead and so lifeless and so cold under the truth. And they shun speaking with others about the things of God. They would rather not talk about it, for they have inside by them something that says, "You're not one of them children. You don't belong to the children of God." They have unbelief rising up in them, and unbelief speaks so powerfully, and oh, they are in such a sad state of condition that sometimes they make vows, they make resolutions, they're going to give it all up. They might just as well tell the people that they deceived themselves because it's not true within. This is how far it comes sometimes. Oh, they are giving way to this and giving way to that, and they are so conformed to the world and to the things of time and sense. The Lord teaches us that we should let our light shine amongst men, that our Father in heaven should be glorified. And oh, we see so little of this light shining amongst men today in the way the Christians live. Oh, how sad it is when we get into such a state, my hearers. Are you in such a state? Oh, may this comfort you, my hearers. While they were sleeping and slumbering, suddenly there came a cry, "The bridegroom cometh." Oh, my hearers, if you may be one of his dear children, and you are attached again to the things of time and sense, he loves you. He's not let you go on like this. He says in his word that he will visit us with the rod and strike us for our iniquities. But his loving kindness he will not take away, nor suffer his faithfulness to fail. And so there comes in this midnight of darkness, of unbelief, of doubts, of fears, there comes a cry. Sometimes God uses the ministry of his word. He brings home to that soul a word strong and powerful, just fitting their condition. They are awakened out of this sleep, out of this slumber. If not by the ministry, sometimes he comes in the way of providence. His dealings sometimes are very severe with his children. And then they are given to arise. They again hear his voice. And oh, what a mercy that he gives them to arise. They arise in prayer and supplication. They are given to see where they were, what they were doing, how they have left their first love, how they have forsaken this good, kind, gracious, and merciful, and faithful God. And all the tears and the sorrow of repentance again flow over their faces. Oh, they long to be brought back again into communion and fellowship with him whom they have left, whom they have forsaken. And it pleases the Lord in these times to arise over them, to grant unto them to hear his voice again. And oh, it pleases him in some ways to give himself to these poor, despondent, sinking souls. They have then the Lord Jesus Christ appearing unto them. Oh, the Son of Righteousness goes up in their souls, and they again find healing under his wings. Oh, they are given such faith to receive him, to believe in him, to embrace him as the Lord their righteousness. They are then made ready for this glorious feast to go in into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to have a good, kind, faithful God think upon us. Oh, his loving kindness changes not from age to age the same towards his dear children. And now we find that all these virgins, when this cry came, they awoke. Oh, they awoke. And we find that those that had taken oil, they used this oil and they filled their vessels. Oh, the oil of grace again began to flow in their hearts. But the foolish had no oil. They never had any grace. They never had this work take place in their hearts. They never were with their hearts attached to God. It was all just outwardly. And all they saw these wise virgins exercise with the coming of the bridegroom, looking, anticipating to be with him and to go in with him. And they became jealous. All this takes place in life, my hearers, when people who are hypocritical and who have no work of grace but who have been speaking such high language and claiming to be them, oh, when the time comes and then they find out that they cannot enter in, oh, that they lack this work that God gives unto his children, then likewise they would be jealous of those people that have grace. Then they see that there's something more necessary shall it be well to enter into that glorious abode. So it was with these foolish. Oh, they seen that the wise had oil and they had none. Their lamps had gone out. But their profession continued because it was of God, because his grace was in their souls. So the foolish, they turned away to go for some oil. They went to those that sold And while they were gone, we find that the bridegroom came and they went into the marriage. All these five wise virgins of the Church of Christ, his bride, who have been anticipating his coming and looking for him to come, they were given to enter in with him into the marriage place. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if you and I may be one of them. Oh, they went in with gladness and with rejoicing into the palace of the king, and the door was shut. Oh, they were inside, forever inside. Oh, I just think what that would be, to be forever delivered from sin, from the world, from yourself, to be forever with Jesus. Oh, my hearers, who can anticipate and who can even think of what it will be? Oh, to receive what he has said. He has prepared a place for all his people, all mansions in the skies, and there they will be with him forever and ever. Never, never no more to go out, to look upon his face and to behold him forever and ever, to be with the Lord. All these wise virgins, they were given to enter in, and the door was shut. Have you any hope you might be taken in? Have you any hope that you might be there, my hearers? Oh, what a mercy if you have this. I hope you may have a living hope that you may be with him forever and ever. Oh, who can speak of the glories that there will be there? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it come up into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. And all while they were in there having the marriage and enjoying the feasting, that we find that these foolish came back and they knocked on the door. The door was shut. They could not enter in. No admittance was written on the door. And a voice inside spake to them and said unto them, Verily, verily, I know you not. Oh, my hearers, what that must be. Can you anticipate that? For millions of Christians today who anticipate and who are so sure that they're going to go in, and then to come before a closed door, and then to hear Christ speak to them for the first time in their life, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Oh, they have been such wonderful Christians. They have boasted of their Christianity, boasted of their faith. They were so sure that they would go in, and there they come, and the door is shut. Oh, this brings us back to the time when Noah likewise had finished the ark. The commentary commenced upon this door being shut as it was in the time of Noah. Then we know that the people likewise who even had helped Noah build the ark, they likewise stood on the outside. There were only 8 persons that were permitted to enter into the ark. Oh, how few they were, and there will be so few too in that great day, my hearers. A few in comparison of the millions and millions of people that have lived upon this earth. But oh, what a mercy it'll be if you and I may be on the inside of that door. These people will be on the outside, and they'll be clamoring, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. And then he will answer them from inside of the door. Verily, I know you not. And what will they say? What, not know us, Lord? Not know us? Have we not eaten and drunken in the streets? And hast thou not taught in the street with us? Verily, I know you not. Oh, he will then cast them out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, what an awful day that will be for such creatures, my hearers. And oh, what will it be for you and I? This is the most important thing. We may speak of others, but it'll be us too. We all will stand there in that great day. And then we will be judged righteously by that great judge. Oh, we are yet in the time of salvation. We know not the hour or the day when the Son of Man shall come. He's coming, my hearers. He may come in a manner of death. He may take us away before that great day comes. But when death comes, we likewise will be judged. We either will enter into eternal punishment or enter into heaven above with our souls. Oh, what shall become of us in that day when death comes? And this is a sure thing. It is appointed unto us to die, and thereafter judgment. Oh, may you solemnly be given by the grace of God to be prepared in this short space of time. Oh, may you seek God while he is yet to be found. Now is yet the acceptable time. Now is yet the day of salvation. Now the words are yet ringing in your ears. Come, come, for wherefore will ye die? Oh, may you be given to come to him who receives sinners and turns none away. Oh, that you may learn to know him in this life by the grace of God, and that you may walk with him and talk with him and fear him and love him, and when he comes to take you from this earth by death, that you may be anticipating to be forever with him. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy bless your souls with this wonderful gift. Oh, think, my hearers, what it will be said to you if the door is shut. I have never known thee. Oh, could you, my hearers, go in your inner chamber on your knees, and could you say, Lord, you know me. You know you heard my prayers. You know you answered me in different times in my life. You know you visited me with your comforts. You encouraged me so under the means of grace. And you call God to account. Have you ever tried to do that, my hearers? Honestly, sincerely? What a mercy if you can do this. If you can lay before God the things that he has given unto you. He'll never spurn them. He'll never turn away from them. That's his work. Oh, he will recognize this in that great day. Oh, may you be given even a crumb of this wonderful grace of God, and then he will take notice of it. Oh, verily, then he will know you, and he will receive you, and you will enter in to be with him. But if you have nothing of this going on in you, my dear hearers, what an awful eternity awaits you. Oh, to think to be shut out, the door shut, never to be able to enter in, never see that wonderful face of Jesus, never enjoy his presence. Oh, never to hear, come while it is yet today, for tomorrow it may be too late, then it will be forever too late. To be shut out from heaven, to be shut up in hell, to be shut up with the devils and all his angels, to be shut up with the damned, oh, my hearers. You would shun many a person here in this world. You wouldn't want to communicate with them or be with them. But all think what an eternity you are awaiting without the grace of God in your souls. There you will pray that the mountains might fall upon you and that the hills may cover you from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Terrible it will be to fall into the hands of a living God. For our God is a consuming fire outside of Christ. All seek to be found in him, my hearers. This man is a refuge, is a strength, is a blessed portion to have in this life. We will commemorate his birth soon. All that he may be born in your hearts by his blessed Spirit, and that you may know him as your Savior, as your Redeemer, and that you may be given in this life to walk with him, to talk with him, and to live for him. And when you die, you most certainly shall be with him. The Lord bless our feeble instruction taken out of this parable this afternoon. That's all.